How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Lots of stuff to talk about here today. It is Tuesday, and last night was the kickoff, again, of the new era of WWE Raw Live with a new roster. The brand split has begun, and it was the best Raw show in God knows how long. Now, obviously, the big question is, can they maintain this going forward? They do have a new set. That's not going to change. They've made some changes to the announcing crew, the way they shoot the show. But last night, obviously, there were some things you can't do every week. They did a big-time hotshot title change with Sasha Banks beating Charlotte to win the women's title. They had the debut of Finn Balor, who went on to beat Roman Reigns in the main event. A lot of stuff you can't do all the time, but there was a philosophy change last night that hopefully they will stick with. We got more squash matches. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That idea, and that helped to get Braun Strowman and Nia Jax in and out quick and show off their big moves and prepare them for a future push down the road. Tonight is SmackDown, and they will have a new set tonight, to the best of my knowledge, that had been talked about last week. And I'm sure some changes on SmackDown as well. Storyline is they've got to do something to make the show exciting this evening. I suppose we could have a title change on SmackDown. You could hotshot something with The Miz, changing that title, for example. Or even Dean Ambrose, John Cena or AJ Styles beating Dean Ambrose for the title tonight. A lot of things could happen on the live show. We're going to talk about everything when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. First Raw of the New Era is in the books. A very good show. The debut of Finn Balor. He wrestled twice on the show. Won a four-way. Roman Reigns won another four-way. They face each other in the main event, and Finn Balor beat him, which means that Finn Balor is going to be facing Seth Rollins for the WWE Universal title at the SummerSlam show. Yes, not everything is perfect. They are calling it the Universal title because the universe is bigger than the world. The WWE Universe needs a title. The Universal Belt. We had squash matches back on the show. We had a new set. We had a women's title change with Sasha beating Charlotte to win the title, which, again, not everything perfect. I don't know why they did that last night as opposed to on SummerSlam. Everything about it would have been better at SummerSlam, but it still got over big last night. And Brock Lesnar's back on the show next week, so quite the evening, and it appears that Mike, of all people, liked the show.
I did. Indeed. Hope. Hashtag hope. You know, we talked about all the ways that this could just be a replay of any other time that they've tried to do this. We could start off, you know, look at the draft show last week, how really boring that was, how uneventful a major event of TV programming that they wanted to have could be. That's what it was last week. But I mean, this was great. I know they, with the new set, to me, they basically just took old pay-per-view sets and kind of mix-matched them and put them together. I like the way that they opened the show with a different camera shot on these guys. And I'm not a big fan of having the announcers up on the ramp, but it's something different and how they went to them.
Why is that? Because Dave said the same thing, and all I could think was, who cares?
I think it's just because I'm old. It's just a personal preference that I have that I, you know, when they switch to Nitro, I mean, I my entire life, the guys have been at ringside, and I don't know why, because boxing, same way. I mean, the guys are at ringside. I don't know why. again, it doesn't really matter. This is an aesthetic thing that allows these guys to slam around around ringside more, and it just gives the show a different look. And that's what it was about last night, was just trying to do something different. And they did a great job with it by doing a couple things that are brand new to them, and then going back to some things that have been traditional in pro wrestling programming for years. They went back to the squash match. They went back to the ultimate jobber of all jobbers last night. We had basically a mid-range match that you're just using to fill time and want to focus on a guy. That was Adrian Neville against Curtis Axel.
Now that sucked.
Well, it did, Brian, but it's going to have its place on the show. I mean, the match could have been better. It could have been received better. But in a three-hour show, you're going to probably have something like that. The same way you're going to have something like the New Day.
Hold on. Before you go into the New Day, let me talk about that Neville match. I've got to talk about this. So Neville is coming back, and you want to showcase him that he's back and he's good as new. Of all of the guys on the roster, number one, why he had a match with Curtis Axel is beyond me. Worse, he went for a while with Curtis Axel. This was a show that had squash matches on it. We saw Nia Jax squash somebody. We saw Braun Strowman squash somebody. Neville, on his return, should have squashed Curtis Axel, number one. And number two, if they are going to go back and forth, then to introduce the guy as Mr. Irrelevant and then act like you're surprised that everyone found the match to be irrelevant. Like, everything about that sucked. I don't care what anybody says. That sucked.
I guess, but to focus on the Mr. Irrelevant, you know what? You could have called him Mr. Excitement. You could have called him whatever you wanted to call him. He would still be Mr. Apathy to those fans. It's going to
take squash him.
The problem is with a three-hour show, and with you'd need to have somewhat of a occasionally a halfway decent mid-card, and you're going to need Curtis Axel when you go to house shows. He's going to have to do 10 minutes or 15 minutes with somebody sometimes. I don't know if it's Braun Strowman, which actually may be the best thing for Braun Strowman, but I mean, you're going to have guys like that. Bo Dallas is going to have to
be... Well, then don't call him Mr. Irrelevant and expect it to be anything more than a squash match.
I guess. I think it's more that there's always going to be something on the show that just falls flat. And when you got a guy like Curtis Axel, this is the problem with having a bunch of guys or a bunch of people where none of them matter for so long. That's what's going to happen here. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't think it should have been Axel. If you're going to do that, do what you did with the Britt Baker and then, you know, my new favorite professional wrestler. I can't remember my man's name right now. James Two Fists Ellsworth. Bring up somebody like that for Neville to squash, because when you look at that roster, but when you look at that roster, who else is he supposed to beat in a squash?
Dude, he could beat either Sin Cara or Kalisto, whoever's on that roster. They would at least do a little bit of flying and be exciting.
But then, okay, I guess.
All I know is if you would have given me...
I just think you're nitpicking on the Curtis Axel thing bit too much.
If you would have given me a piece of paper and you were gonna say, this is the new Raw, it is the first day of the new era, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to have Neville versus Curtis Axel, and we're going to go 5 minutes, and Curtis Axel's going to get the heat and put him in a headlock on the mat for two of those minutes, and we're going to bill him as Mr. Irrelevant. I would have looked at that piece of paper and I said, how about we just take this off the show and do a Finn Balor video package? Because it'll be a lot better show, trust me.
I guess. I just think you're really hyper-focusing on that when, of all the things on the show, I mean, it was the best Raw in God knows how long, so there's going to be slip-ups. There's going to be times when things don't work. Look at the New Day's comedy, but you have to throw it out there and see what happens. I'm not going to beat on that. If they continue to make the same mistakes week after week, okay, fine, but I'm the one who sits here and says, prove it to me every week. Well, you know what? At least for one night, they proved it to me, so I got a little bit of good faith there. Let's see if they can actually keep it up.
Okay, you're right. You want to know why I'm hyper-focusing on it? I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because they just did a brand split, and now they've got 60% of the roster that they had last week. And they've still got a three-hour show. And so, as good as that show was last night, the reality is, you can't have one Mr. Irrelevant on that show unless it's somebody that you bring in from the outside, like James Ellsworth, who's, by the way, I'd rather see James Ellsworth than the Axeman next week. But the point is, if you've got a guy who's not James Ellsworth, he's not some jobber from the outside, you can't make anybody. When you have a full giant roster and you've got 55 guys or whatever, sure, you can have a guy that's a comedy geek. But when you slashed your roster in half, you can't do that. And especially you can't do that when poor Neville. This guy is great. He hurt himself. He's out 4 months. Neville's story, which I actually believe, is he didn't know when he came back if people would remember him or care. And so what they did was they gave him that match on his comeback. Nobody cared one bit about Neville until he hit his one big move. That's the only thing they cared about in that match. So yeah. Yes, as great as that show was, there are still things that they need to improve because they still have 3 hours, and I don't need to see them dying for 5 minutes because you still want to have a guy called Mr. Irrelevant on the show.
And again, who else is he supposed to face? Because most of the guys he would have faced, everybody would have been waiting for him to hit his move anyway, whether it be Sin Cara or
it's
anybody
else. Fine, do it
else.
Quick.
So, I guess so. I guess so. I think, again, you're too much on that. But, hey, the things that they did do right.
They did do a lot of things right.
Nia Jax, I think, was the greatest example of that because she should not be on that roster. She shouldn't be. And apparently she's got eyes. That's what we want you to know about Nia Jax is we're going to focus in on her eyes and then she's going to fall on you. And I did like the King Kong Bundy type thing. You know, hopefully she actually does go with the five count. But there's the greatest example of we have a lot of agita over, oh God, these people that should not be on this roster. What the hell are they going to do? Especially on Raw when the possibility of 3 hour show, them doing too much with somebody is very, very high. Couldn't have been any better. Braun Strowman couldn't have been any better. And again, they went with the old school method by bringing people in. Braun is Braun. You're going to have to do what you can with him. And like that was as good as you can get by having a James Ellsworth out there. I don't know how many other guys on the roster are going to want to take a face-first choke slam from big old Braun, but I guess we're going to have to see. But I don't look for great things in the future from either one of them, at least anytime soon from Nia Jax, but they did what they could, and that actually worked out well.
Braun Strowman needs to be squashing someone for at least a year. He needs to be doing long matches on the road. But let me tell you something. He absolutely sucks. He's worse than the Warlord when he debuted way back in the mid-80s.
I remember that.
He had a 30-second squash match, and he sucked for 30 seconds, which is extremely impressive. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. What did you think of Raw? The phone lines are open, as well as text messages. Studio line 425-488-0525. Toll free, 844-411-5411, and text messages 425-780-7566. I'm on Twitter at Brian Alvarez, Mike is at SemperVV, Sports Byline at Sports Byline USA. So follow us there, and Studio Line, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yes, Kenny.
Hey, I'm on the agreements of you. I thought Raw was a good show. The only thing that I have that's maybe a little bit of nitpicking, it's not even about the squash matches. I'm glad that we've got some jobbers and squash matches to fill up 3 hours. It's really the whole name and the whole second world title thing. You would think that with them having the history of the WCW and their World Heavyweight Championship with the big gold belt, you would think, oh, let's just bring that back. But to go on ahead and just start from scratch with, I mean, the name alone just kind of is like, it's nitpicking. I mean, I can understand WWE Universe tie in with that, but I don't know. It just seems like that name froze me off a little bit.
It's not the best name for a title I've ever heard. No,
no,
no offense to those in Puerto Rico.
Well, that's the thing. You think that if WWC finds out about it, you think they may actually...
Now, there's nothing you can do about that, I don't think.
The colognes are on there. I mean, what's,
yeah, they got a working agreement anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, and then, look, it's just going to take some time to get used to, and that's just one of those things. It either is going to work or it's not going to work. They could always go back to world title or whatever, some remix, or just make it all the WWE title again, whatever you want it to be. If you need to get rid of it, you can just merge the belts temporarily until you think of a new name, but... Give him credit for at least trying something new. As big of a fan as I am of the big gold belt, you know, growing up in that era as it went from the dome globe to the big gold belt, it's been done before. And one thing they've tried to do with a lot of the belts, even if they look a little bit ridiculous, like I've always thought the tag team titles look, they at least are trying to do something moving forward. Part of it's for marketing and wanting to sell belts. The other part of it is because things should look a little bit different on TV. That's been one of the funnier parts about Raw and SmackDown for so long and WWE TV programming for so long is it's looked the same. They've done some gimmicks with the belts. They've done some a little bit with the camera angles and some things here and there, you know, bringing up the NXT ringside video board to put up there. They've done some things like that, but basically how the show is shot and how it's presented to you, it has been the exact same for a decade and a half, almost two decades. In fact, I think it pretty much has been two decades. That needs to change, and hopefully we're slowly crawling into a new era with that. The problem is, and as bad, again, as bad as the Axeman was last night and as bad as that match was, you could still always look at it, excuse it, and say sometimes athletes don't perform well, sometimes they're not good. At no professional television show, whether it be a talk show, whether it be sports, anything, if you had a host that was that bad as Byron Saxton, you wouldn't have them on there. And Byron Saxton, I think the line was, if WWE was Six Flags, Nia Jax is here to break the roller coasters. I don't know what he's doing there. I mean, I know why he's there and why they have him basically tokened out there, but this, it's just not good. It's not doing him any good, and I think that guy's got something to give. I don't know what it is, but it's damn sure not as an announcer, because Colin Graves alone would have been as close to a Vince Ventura thing as we've had in quite some time. I think they would have been very good alone.
Person says, Raw was really great. 3 hours still too long. New title name is bad. Finn was made into a main eventer in one night. So much for needing 10 years to make a star. And the new production is very nice and welcome.
Person says, it did take 10 years for Finn Balor to become this big of a star, but he's there now.
Person says, I loved the show last night, but I can already see they need a lot of new talent on the rosters or they will run out of interesting matches quickly. Well, less of a problem on SmackDown because it's only 2 hours. But yes, they got to do something on Raw that does not involve Mr. Irrelevant. I'll be ranting about that for decades, just so everybody knows. Well. Geeks on the board, this person says, saying that Enzo is a draw. No one is a draw. I don't think it's true that nobody is a draw. There are people where, I mean, come on. If Bailey's coming to town, your daughter's going to ask if she can go see Bailey. That counts as a draw. If John Cena's on the show, their kids are going to want you to buy them tickets to go. Same with the New Day. There are people who are a draw. Nobody is making a massive difference outside of John Cena. What was that?
Well, Titus O'Neil, the responsible dads. Everywhere.
Titus O'Neil is not a draw.
He comes around responsible dads who look out for their kids and who work two jobs out there trying to provide. He inspires them and wants to take the kids
like
to the
Titus
matches.
O'Neil's working two jobs. Give me a break. By the way,
he's wrestling and he's out there pimping fatherhood. So there you go.
By the way, when you were asking earlier, who else could Neville have faced? Yes. Well, first off, he could have faced the Axeman. He's got to beat him in 30 seconds. Same with Bo Dallas, who was in the dark match. Titus O'Neil and Jack Swagger are a team now, and they beat the Dudleys.
Sure.
Titus O'Neil and Jack Swagger?
Team Hoss, brother, right there. That's I'm telling you. Remember, I think Ring of Honor, there was a local team from Baltimore that was wrestling, and I think they called themselves the O-line or the D-line, something like that, some football reference. I'm telling you, Baron Corbin, Jack Swagger, Titus O'Neil, all of these big guys who are just cast-offs, who have been retreads for a while, they just all have some sort of pro wrestling football gimmick where they just slam into each other at high speeds, just hossing out.
Anyway, my point is that Sin Cara here could have easily faced Neville, and Bo Dallas could have faced the Axeman because they're broken up now. They're no longer a team. The social outcasts are history.
So do you think that means that, actually, I don't know what that means, but there's the cruiserweights, too, and Michael Rathburn did note that. Cruiserweights will take up to 30 minutes each week, two matches or more. I don't know if they'll get that long.
They ain't getting
that long, there will be an influx. Again, there's going to be an influx of people just by the nature of having the cruiserweights on there that are going to come to Raw, which does... let's see if anybody drops off and ends up on SmackDown, because they certainly could use it.
Been watching WWE for almost a year and a half, this person says. So a new fan. I need to talk to this person. Yesterday was by far the best episode of Raw I have seen, top to bottom. Even the filler segments never overstayed their welcome. Well, except for the Neville match. He's correct. I want to mention my poll.
Yes. How's your poll looking?
My poll yesterday that I did about this whole deal. Are you a person who cannot get enough of WWE, or do you believe that there is too much product? We're now at 2,000 votes, final results, and 71% believe there is too much programming, yet 29% need more. So they do exist, and the percentage is higher than I thought.
Are 15% of those people trolls? Is there a plus-minus troll ratio correction you got going on in this?
I think that those people are telling the truth because they'd never lie to me. To the studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Hello, Jim.
I tell you, you might disagree with me, but I think Charlotte and Sasha stole the show last night.
Let me think about the matches last night. I think they may have stolen the show last night. I think they had the best match. It was not the best match they could have had. Mm-hmm. It was clunky in spots, and Sasha nearly killed herself at one point, but it was still a very, very good match.
Yeah, the thing that really impressed me was when Charlotte did the backflip, and everybody, you know, they were hollering, you know, the thing they always holler, you know, and they was really impressed the fans.
I do think that because it was a championship match, mm-hmm. and because it was a title change, mm-hmm. and because of the way that they presented it, I think that they stole the show. But as an actual in-ring wrestling match, I think the opening four-way with Finn Balor was better.
Right.
Even Reigns and Balor.
I actually thought they were going to wait till SummerSlam to have that match.
They were. They changed their mind yesterday.
So they'll have a rematch at SummerSlam, huh?
I don't know.
Plans change.
As far as Nia Jax goes, I think the jury is still out on her. I was not
you don't
that
say.
Impressed.
The jury is, in fact, still out on her, Jim.
No, but it was overall, it was a...
Well, actually, I don't even know if the jury's still out. I think the jury has decided she's not ready for Raw, but she's
exactly.
there.
Exactly. But the thing I want to...
The prosecution's still building their case?
The case has been settled.
The thing that I like, I don't know if... I want your opinion on this. The thing where they kept showing the announcers standing up, like their backs to the ring, talking to the cameras. What did y'all think of that?
Well, I think that they read the story that came out a couple of days ago that too much sitting is dangerous for you, and so now their announcers must stand. It's part of the wellness policy.
Well, I mean, look at every single sports presentation. When they show the guys in the booth, they usually will zero in on a shot. They'll show the widescreen of the who's in the building, the field, and everything, and then they'll transition into a shot of those guys standing there. Now, once that camera's off of them and they're calling the game, they're sitting back at the desk, they have their headphones on, and they're talking. But when they do those shots, I mean, that's what they do. And again, it's a small thing, but they need a lot of small aesthetic changes to the show. We always talk about the big things with the matches because they're tangible and it's, you know, a lot more fun to talk about. But that show has needed a facelift for quite some time, and this may be the start of it. We'll have to see what they do with SmackDown. You know, we can make fun of the logo all we want because it did stink. But when it gets right down to it, if what I'm watching for 3 hours is at least visually appealing, it does help things along.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Jim. Couple of things here. Jorge says, I was watching Raw yesterday with a friend that rage quit in 2009, and after today he will continue.
Through his controller.
He will continue watching. And this person says, fail. Both brands' dark matches after the show are opposite brand guys. That's true. John Cena and AJ Styles worked the dark match last
night.
That's
okay.
But that's only now until they get house shows on Monday, so let's not freak out. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, we've got some questions here, including this person wondering if we are going to get women's and tag team titles on SmackDown. Great question! I presume we'll find out tonight on SmackDown. I would presume yes, because it was funny. When the pay-per-view was over, there were a lot of matches where we had a schmoz finish. And it seemed that they were setting up a rematch, even though people were on different brands. And so yesterday, our conclusion was, well, I guess on SmackDown, they're going to be doing brand versus brand matches. That's the only thing that makes sense. Well, in hindsight, this pay-per-view gets more preposterous by the day, because from watching Raw, it looks like we're not going to get brand versus brand matches. That whole thing with the Wyatts beating the New Day, which we thought would lead to a tag title match. No, it's the New Day versus the Club now. And the Wyatts are just on SmackDown. They're going to be doing something else. So there were a lot of finishes on that show that at the time seemed to set something up for SummerSlam. But now, apparently, they just did some stuff.
I almost, because of how poorly they plan, I can almost believe that they just backed themselves into a corner and then that's how they got out of it. It's like, what else can you do? Well, we can't have non-finishes for everything. Have Bray win because he's Bray and we'll just completely forget that this happened. You know, basically the blow off to that feud had already taken place in the final deletion copy that they did that was semi-uncomfortable to watch in the, you know, the Everglades trailer park or whatever the hell it was with the that they did a couple weeks ago on TV. So I could almost see them just, you know, basically needing a way out, and that's how they decided to get out of the pay-per-view. And you can do that now in this era of what they're doing. So that's it there.
Everyone's tweeting you about this announcer gimmick.
What do you mean?
Well, they're noting that the announcers were far away from the ring in the 80s and that they never moved to ringside until the mid-90s.
Do people realize that when they watch those, all of the times that they watch Superstars and Challenge, that the announcers weren't there? I mean, all that is a shot. Very rarely, only when they were doing angles or only when they had something planned, did they have announcers there. All those shows that you ever watched from that era were all canned in a studio somewhere. Very rarely were the announcers actually there except for pay-per-views. So, and yes, and I know at pay-per-views too, at Manias and things like that, that the announcers were far away. It's just my preference, again, of what I watched and grew up with. Most of the time, the announcers were right down there on the floor, the way it's, you know, that Raw traditionally had it. Nitro was the one that kind of brought that into the forefront for people out there, was when they actually would do that live every week and they would be far away. So I don't know. To me, again, my preference is still having them on the floor. Doesn't matter. Really, what matters is, again, they're trying to make a change with the aesthetics on things.
Well, let's go to the toll-free line. You are on the air.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. This is Johnny from Iowa.
Yes, Johnny.
I thought last night's show was a breath of fresh air. I really did. Two things I really liked about it were the squash matches. I hope they have a squash match, at least one every hour on that show.
They should.
Great.
They kind of did last night, except for the X-Man.
Right. I also really liked the feel of the show. It was more UFC-ish, so to speak, as far as the interviews went, the in-ring interviews. Interviewing the enhancement talent before Strowman, that was great.
Well, I think part of it is they've realized that sports are getting more money for TV renewals than entertainment. So now they're a sport.
That, and it added guts to the show. I mean, it just added some more guts to the show. I thought it was a great show.
Now, well, when you've got a whatever you want to call it, sports entertainment. When you've got a television show, I don't even... When you got professional wrestling, which is supposed to be a fake sport,
you
promote
right.
it and you push it as a sport, it's inherently better than when you take something that pretends to be a sport, but then pretend that it's a television show.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even explain what they try to do because it doesn't make any sense. It's preposterous.
Fighting opera.
Professional wrestling is a fake sport, and so you should present it as a sport, not a television show. Whoever came up with the idea Agreed. That professional wrestling should be pushed as a television show, I think we can all figure out who that is.
Not a fake
Screwed
sport.
Up this business for 15 years.
A simulation of sport. That's what it was supposed to be. An exhibition that would showcase athleticism and sport with the color and wonderment that can come along with the charisma of these athletes and the presentation of which it comes. This is something that works. Look, this is why all of these, you know, boxing, mixed martial arts, professional wrestling, kickboxing, any sport where you have two people facing off against each other, you have to basically how you sell that is exactly the same. If you are not selling pure athletic competition of the two best people in their field, you are basically selling personality, whether it's one of them, whether it's both of them. That's what you're selling, and it works the exact same across the board for any sport where you have two people, especially for all of the sports where you have two people that are half naked on a canvas mat. Those should be very easy to kind of have the same threads run through them. And what works for pro wrestling, what works for boxing, or what works for mixed martial arts should all be taken from each other and utilized.
Let us go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys, it's Buzz from Florida.
Yes, Buzz.
Yeah, I just had two quick things today for you. First thing is, out of Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe, who do you guys hope gets called up first to the main roster? And secondly, a little bit of a conspiracy theory, but I think...
Now, let me address your first one first, because we could spend some time on your conspiracy theory. I hope they both come up at the same time. But what I think is going to happen is that Nakamura will beat Joe for the NXT title, and then Joe will come up, and Nakamura will get some more seasoning down there at NXT.
I just think it's going to be Joe, because I think Joe, it's time for Joe to come up. Nakamura, I'm not saying I don't want him up or anything, but you can leave him down there for a while, and it's not like his star is going to fade or people will want him any less. I think Joe, it's time for him.
Gotcha. And I won't rub in about Carmella. It's no big deal. But my conspiracy theory is, I think the real reason Brock popped for USADA was Vince knew he was going in there. I think he gave him a little IcoPro.
Oh, yeah. Guys. Unfortunately, I think that all of his IcoPro has been expired, my friend. But I want to thank you very much for the call. And by the way, I was thinking yesterday, Mike, when you were talking about who would want to be drafted behind Naomi, the answer is me.
Well, that's...
have no problem being drafted behind Naomi.
I wouldn't have any problem being drafted behind JoJo. You got a problem with that.
This person says, great point on the presentation of sport comment. Thank you. Actually, hearing Cole call Finn a pro wrestler was shocking. Yeah, they're using pro wrestler again.
They
what a
mentioned
surprise.
His British Commonwealth Junior Heavyweight Championship, which I believe was at one point part of the J Crown, representing, oh, I don't know, Osaka Pro or something like that. But yes, they actually mentioned that title as well, too. So,
dude, I can't wait until somebody, because it's going to happen, that somebody on that show is going to be a former ICW, ICWA Texarkana television champion, and they will mention that belt on Raw.
This has been something so simple and something that I know that they will screw this up in a lot of ways, but just by mentioning some of the small things like that, by mentioning other titles or things that are outside wrestling and things like that, I don't know. I like the direction that they're going, and I don't know for what reason it's happening. But I always have that worry in the back of my mind that Vince is going to put his stamp on it too much. And you have people like Byron Saxton who try too hard. But boy, God, I know it's all about hope right now, but I hope this is truly a step forward. Again, we're going to see tonight. We have Moro now that has got, I'm not saying he's shackled by JBL or anything like that, but he was working great with King. We'll have to see what it goes with JBL because he is a lot more bombastic. And we'll just have to see how that goes because, again, three people in that booth is also overkill.
This person says the question that many are asking, what's next for Roman Reigns? No, there are a lot of fans that think that he's being buried. Listen.
Buried.
Roman Reigns main evented the pay-per-view, and he main evented Raw, and he won a match on Raw, a four-way over three top stars before he got beaten by Finn Balor. Now, obviously, they're backing off from Roman Reigns a little bit. But do not think for one second that Roman Reigns is being buried or he's going to be a mid-carder or anything like that. I don't know what he's doing for SummerSlam. He's obviously not going to be in the title picture for the first pay-per-view in God knows how long. But they are going to continue to push him. He is going to continue to win. And one of these days, he's going to be back there in that title picture again. And they pretty much made that clear in the post-match interview after he'd lost to Finn Balor. So people are reading way too much into this Roman Reigns loss in the main event on Raw.
Yeah, absolutely right. And again, who else gets, you know, and granted, it was new, so, you know, somebody was going to have to get it. But who gets an interview like that after they lose or who's, you know, buried too far deeply into the doghouse? And obviously the news day is taken up right now and with Anderson and Gallows. I mean, if they're going to keep him a babyface, which it looks like they are. I mean, I'm always a fan of the two bigger names in a stopgap tag team, whether it's Rock and Sock or when they do things like that. So I know it's like Roman Reigns and Big Show doesn't sound very appealing or anything like that. But as far as a time filler, okay, I'd be good with that with something. But the problem is there's no tag teams right now. So you look at the roster and you go, okay, who can he match up with? And I'm hoping it's Cesaro and Owens, you know, because I have a fear that could it be Roman Reigns and Owens? Could it be Roman Reigns and somebody else who I don't want to see lose? Roman Reigns and Rusev? I would hope that's not the case either, because I want to see Owens and Rusev kept strong. And it seems to me, even though Reigns isn't going to be getting any wins over Balor or Rollins anytime soon, he's probably going to get him over everybody else. So I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm sure if you want to give him some mojo back, you have him go out and beat up on the Axeman or Mark Henry or whoever it is that you have for that particular week for him.
Okay, I got to read this. David here says, where Mark Hunt said in his rant, and this is on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com if you haven't seen it, that he thought UFC knew about Brock's PED abuse, and that's why they gave him an exemption to the four-month rule. Could Hunt sue the UFC to get to their records and determine if they knew or if they had the drug test back before UFC 200? I am sure they would want to settle quickly. Okay, listen. First off, UFC did not give Brock Lesnar any exemption. None. USADA gave him an exemption. And the only reason they gave him the exemption is because if they didn't, he could not fight at UFC 200. The exemption only meant that instead of having a four-month window of testing, he had a two-month window of testing. Now, furthermore,
that they tested the hell out of him right off the bat.
Yes, furthermore, Brock Lesnar failed at the end of the window, meaning he probably would have passed if he would have started taking tests 4 months prior to UFC 200. It was at the end that he failed, probably because as he was weight cutting, something ended up being released into his system and he ended up failing the test. That's another matter entirely. But here's the deal with the did UFC know? There was another guy on UFC 200 that his drug test did come back, and they pulled him from the show literally at the last minute. Not literally, but within the final week. John Jones. That was a disaster. So if UFC were going to withhold results that they got back from USADA, they would have done the same thing for John Jones. Now, if there was a situation where UFC kept getting drug test results back within a day or two, but then for some reason, Brock's magically didn't come back for 3 weeks, yeah, maybe the guy would have a case. But the reality is, everybody's results take forever to come back. So, yeah, I'm sure he could, if he wanted to, sue UFC and try to get the information about whether they knew, but I'm fairly certain they didn't know. And if they did know, they would have pulled him from the show just like they pulled John Jones from the show. So I think when people, we've got so many conspiracies lately. I don't think there's a conspiracy here. It's just they need to get results back quicker. And we've known that for a while. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, we got an angry feller here, an older feller. He says that 29% in your poll must all be 17-year-old males who have nothing to do after school but watch the network. Get a girlfriend, geeks! Too much content!
Whoa. Wow. Too much content, not enough contact with the human world. That's what that man's saying to you.
Harsh words right there. Want to mention, everybody, that we are here every day. And when I mean every day, I'm talking Monday through Monday. Monday through Friday, we are here at noon Pacific. What is it? Noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, whatever it is. Anyway, then we got a replay at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Saturdays, we have shows at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific. So 1 Eastern and 8 Eastern. And Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. If you go to Sports Byline USA, they have updated the schedule page. You can find any of, I believe, the 22 hours of Wrestling Observer Live that is available on Sports Byline USA, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And if you want more, I do shows every single solitary day at WrestlingObserver.com, several shows per day, as well as a number of other great hosts, including Mike. You can get all the information at WrestlingObserver.com. It's $10.99 a month, not only to get brand new members-only shows, but we have 8,000 shows in the archives. You will not regret a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. I can guarantee that. And remember to follow us on Twitter at Brian Alvarez, at Semper Vivi, at Sports Byline USA. And I'm on Instagram, F4W Online. Follow me there as well for all sorts of baby and cat pics and more. Check that out, everybody. And we will be back later on today with more. Retro Raw and Nitro with Brian and Craig is coming up tonight. Vinny and Craig, I apologize. I'll obviously be there. And then back here again tomorrow for more. So thanks, Mike, as always. All the folks at Sports Byline USA, callers and listeners, we'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.